Well, this morning, I want to start a new series. If you don't remember, this year is, we've designated, I believe the Lord put that in my heart, is a year of change. A year of change. And that all sounds good unless we do something about it. Have you figured out that if you don't do anything different, this year will be just like last year? Thank you for your enthusiasm. But listen, we want something different for this year. And I believe God wants to take us from level to level to level. The Bible says from glory to glory to glory. He wants us growing. He wants us going further in Him and not further away from Him. Well, this morning we're going to start a series on the roadmap to change. We talked for 4 weeks about the heart. And again, I'm not going to go to the verse or do it, but you remember when I started talking out of Matthew chapter 6, and where we said that the eye, or our perspective of what we think the truth is, if it's not the truth, will lead us to a place where we're not getting the results that we want. In other words, he said it this way, if your eye is full of darkness or a wrong perception, then great is that darkness. And darkness just combines on itself, so it builds up and builds up and builds up. I'll just give you an example, and then we'll get into this. If you're in a relationship with somebody, and your perception is by their body language that they don't like you, and so every time you get a knot in your gut when you're around them, but you never really talk to them about it. And life goes on, and all of a sudden you're in a meeting with them or you're seeing them, and you find out that they're just normally that way. That's not toward you. That's just how they are. And you find out, wait a minute, all of these vain imaginations that I've been imagining about how much they hated me, which led me to other thoughts, is totally wrong. And we've wasted time in relationships and everything else because our perspective has been wrong. And this morning, on the roadmap to change, I want to talk about discovery, but we'll get into that in just a minute. Turn with me to Psalm 119, and we're going to go to 105. Psalm 119 and 105. Hallelujah. And this verse says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. We're talking about a roadmap. And he said, and this is the psalmist saying that. And when the psalmist wrote that, he was really only writing out of the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of the Bible, and the prophets and Judges and all of those books. He was quoting out of that. But we are quoting not only out of the Old Testament, but the New Testament. So when we say the Word is a lamp to my feet, we're talking about His Word. This Bible right here. All change that's going to be eternal must come through this. Are you with me? And I don't care what change it is. Maybe you just want to, change your financial situation, or maybe you just want to, change your attitudes, or maybe you just want to change, and you see, well, that's not really in the Bible. Yes, it is. Let me say that again. Yes, it is. There's principles in the Word of God that we can hold on to, because the Word has to be the lamp that we're guiding on. Just let me do this in our days. How many of you have those headlight lamps that you get at night? You just wear sometimes. And like working on cars, they're great. You got these headlight lamps. And so just think about this. The Word is my headlight lamp. And it's that lamp lights where I'm walking. It's a light to my path. So if I have the Word inside of me and it's what's guiding me, Lila, could you adjust this? Because I think the gain is a little bit too hot, and get the slider up. But watch this. If that lamp is the Word and it's guiding us, and it's guiding us through the change, then we know our perspective about the change is right. And we also know that at the end of the day, we're going to be where we need to be. Does that make sense? So this is the foundation scripture. This is a scripture that we'll have throughout the series. Hallelujah. It's so good. Let me read this to you. I wrote this down. It says, the Word is the path. It is able to direct and change, necessary to bring us to do the right thing in the right way with the right attitude. I'm going to read that one more time. The Word is the path. It is able to direct and change necessary to bring us to do the right thing the right way with the right attitude. See, that's the whole purpose of everything. Now, I just want to tell you this, that God is always looking for us to go to a better place. God is always looking for us to become better. And again, it's not like he's saying, you're pathetic. That's not it. What he's saying is, I bought you with a price, but that work in you is not finished. But that work that I started in you, I will bring it through to completion. And so the process that we're talking about today is change, but it's change getting closer to the completed work that God wants us to be in. I don't think we ever really arrive in this, in this time, but we're on our way. And so again, this year is a year of change. I'm working on myself in several different areas, but I want you to work on yourself. You can come and listen to every message that I do, and you can go out going, boy, that was good. But if you don't do anything about it, you'll be the same. I don't want you to be the same. I like you the way you are, but I know there's better. I know there's more. I know God's got more in you. Are you listening to me? God's got more in you that he wants to bring out. And part of that is selfish, because I believe that all of us are called, and in that calling, we have gifting. And in that gifting is not for us, it's so that God can use us to touch somebody else. Hello? But some of us never developed the gifting, and so we are robbing people who need that gifting from receiving that gifting. Amen? Not anymore. That's over. Why? Because we're going to change. And this is the roadmap to change. I'm going to give you four steps, and over the next 4 weeks, we're going to talk about each one. But the first one I've called discovery. In other words, what are we trying to change? And we need to be specific about it so that we can write a goal. You'll never hit a target unless you are aiming at that target. Just get this picture. And this is how many of us come into life and go, Lord, fix me. And it's like taking somebody, putting a blindfold on them, putting a gun in their hand, turning them around three times, and then say, hit the target. That's dangerous, because they could be pointing at you, right? But here's the deal, is we want to discover not necessarily what we think needs to be changed, or discover what others think need to be changed in us, but here's what we want to discover. God, what is it that you want me to change? All right? So the first point is discovery. The second part, and that'll be next week, once we have what we're shooting for, then we need to have a plan on how to work it out. Right? Okay, this is the goal. This is where I'm going. All right, now I'm going to come up with a plan. And plans can shift during the motion, but you have to have a plan to go forward, right? And so the second part of the series is going to be the plan. And then the third part of it, after we've got the goal, we've got the plan, then we're going to talk about putting it into action. Right? Yeah. How many have said, you know, for the New Year's, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And probably by January 10th, blah, 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 blah is just gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. It's because you didn't commit to the plan and then walk out that commitment. And you know what? Nothing changed. So we have to discover what God wants us. Then we have to come up with a plan, but then we need to walk out that plan. Do you know, it's interesting to me. I think people are waiting sometimes for God to do everything. God, if you want me to go to Africa, you'll make the way so that I can go to Africa. You know, I'll be here today, one day, and in Africa tomorrow. God says, well, where's your passport? Where you didn't look at the door I opened for you to have the opportunity to get the finances to get to Africa. You didn't do anything, and therefore my plan for you never came to pass because you didn't put into action my plan. So, again, we have to discover his goal, and then we have to have a plan, and then we have to put it into action. And then with all of change, at the end of the discovery, at the end of the plan, at the end of the action, there needs to come an evaluation. Is this working? Is this not working? Can I see the change? Can others see the change? Is there something different about me because God put me on this roadmap to change? And I believe that if we'll put those things into action, that God will lead us. So this morning, I want to talk to you about the discovery process. So go with me to Psalm 77. Psalm 77. And verse 6. It says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. My spirit makes a diligent search. That's what I want you to be doing in this morning, obviously, but in the next week, just say, Lord, what is that? I'm going to spend some time, Lord, in the night, in the day, whatever, just thinking about you, thinking about, I want to change, Lord. I want to be who you want me to be. But what specifically do you want to change in me? And then go to Psalm 26:2. Psalm 26:2. And it says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. I'm not talking about looking for condemnation. I'm not talking about, oh, God, I'm such a screw-up. I'll never amount to anything. You know, that's not right. But what I am saying is, Lord, I have a perspective, and here it is. But there is the possibility that my perspective might be off. So I want you to reveal your perspective. And when you examine me, Lord, and you show me a thing that needs to be adjusted, I'm willing to change. I'm willing to change. I love this. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart. I love that. We know that the mind or our thinking center is part of our heart, but at the same time, there's a different. Get my thoughts. and my will and my emotions and my conscience all centered on the same thing so that we can walk forward. Does that make sense? All right. The next verse is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. When is the last time, rather than asking God for things that you need, and he's okay with that, but when is the last time you said, Lord, this is between you and me right now. I really want to know your perspective on my heart. I don't want Joe Blow's perspective. I don't want those voices in my head that told me that I'd never amount to anything. I don't want pride involved with this at all. I want to humble myself before you, and I want you, God, to search my heart. And I want, like he already knows your heart, but what I believe he's saying is, I want you to examine me and know the very thing in my heart that you want to change. Are you with me? And so this is going to take effort on our part. Well, how do I do that, you might ask? How do I get to that place? How do I hear the voice of God? I think that's important. God's not, you know, usually he can do anything he wants, but usually that doesn't mean he's going to come down and write on the wall. That's not normal. If he does it, awesome. He's not going to necessarily send you an individual angel that appears to you and says, that's not normal. Here's what it takes, I believe. It's to get yourself quiet before the Lord. And that can be done in several different ways. In worship is a great place where you kind of shut your mind down and you try to get it from racing and just get quiet before God. Anytime that I really want to get to that place and I've got a lot of things coming at me that are trying to steal that peace that comes from the inside, I will pray in the Spirit as loud as I can, while in my mind I'll be thinking of a verse. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. And praying in the Spirit for, 10, 15 minutes. And when I do that, then I'm concentrating and focusing, and then I just get quiet before God. And what I'm telling you is from the inside will come thoughts. And then when a thought comes, you begin to search that out and find what that is. But that's how you get quiet before God and hear his voice. He speaks to us from the inside. He speaks to us from the inside. We are being refined by God. You know what refining is? Refining is putting heat to something to draw out the impurities so that the desired results that you want can come through. Did you know, like, there's different carats of gold? And the purest gold is the one that's been refined the most. But in the refining process, they get the gold up to a certain temperature, and then there's the impurities rise to the top, and they scrape that off. That's God's plan for us. That's what he wants to do for us. Why? Because the gold is there. And that value of gold becomes more and more and higher the more it's refined. So let's look at a few scriptures. Go to Malachi, the book of Malachi. That's right before Matthew, by the way. Malachi chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and the launderer's soap. He will be a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi. He will purge them as gold and silver that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Do you know who the sons of Levi are? Now, there's a natural branch, but we are the spiritual branch that's been grafted in. So what am I saying? That God wants to do a work in us to get our hearts pure and pure and pure and pure. I've told you this, a friend of mine named Tom that I worked with years ago. Tom was, and you've heard me tell the story again, but it fits here. Tom was about 5'5 or so. A strong guy, just a really strong, but he had what I call the short man's syndrome. In other words, he thought that everybody thought he was inferior because of his height. So this was before Christ. What he'd do is he'd go to a bar and he'd pick out the biggest guy in the bar and he'd go pick a fight with him. And he said, I never lost because I never quit. They might get a punch or two in. I might be knocked down, but I'm getting back up and I'm going to continue punching, because there was a bitterness in his heart by his perspective. Then he got saved. But watch this. That attitude was still in him. He knew it was wrong. So he had to do something to change that. So he sought God on that. And God told him to begin to read and quote over himself 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious. It does not boil over with jealousy. So on and so forth. So what he did is he got a 3x5 card and wrote that out. And then every meal, as he was praying over his meal, he would quote that over himself over and over and over again. Well, I didn't meet Tom when he was in his bar days, but I met him 20 years later. And I'm telling you that that man was so full of the love of God, it was contagious. See, he discovered something in him. Then he put a plan into action. And then he did it every day, day after day after day. And you could measure the difference. So he came to a discovery that God loved him. He knew he was saved. But there was something in him that needed to change. And God used his word to refine him to become better. Amen? All right, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter, or chapter 1, I'm sorry, verse 3. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you're saved, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's your condition. That's who you are. What does that mean? That means I've begotten. I've been begotten. In other words, I'm part of his family. I am a child of the Most High God. I'm in his family. He's not going to kick me out, and I'm not going to leave it. You got it? So good. So good. Verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, now, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Well, here's what I'm saying. God, there is a place when we get to heaven when all of this stuff is going to be away. We're going to be perfect. But until we get there, right? Until we get to that place, there's a purifying process that he wants to go on. But this morning, we're talking about finding that process. Go to verse 13. verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be sober, be vigilant, be on guard. We have to be aware. We have to be aware of what we're going through. We have to be aware of what we're doing. We have to be aware of our attitudes. We have to be aware. And listen, your conscience, again, as we talked about in the heart, will tell you when something's off, if you listen to it, if you won't sear yourself to it. Verse 14 says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. For as he who has called you is holy, be holy in all of your conduct. Does that say a little bit of conduct or all of your conduct? All. So that means everywhere, all the time, no matter where, if you're at work, if you're around a bunch of heathens, you know, if you know you're in a situation, you're to be holy even if they're not. And what holy, I love this, he is holy so you can be holy. Amen. Let me say that again. He's holy so you can be holy. Amen. It's not your effort to be holy that will put you over. It's your understanding that you're a child of God and it's your DNA to be holy. All right? But we're supposed to be obedient children. What's the opposite? Disobedient children. How many have ever disobeyed the Lord? Right? Come on, I have. Everybody in here has. And especially when you know, if the word is the lamp to your feet, then you know when you go against the word that you're not being an obedient child. Hello? You're being a disobedient child. And so what we want to discover is, Lord, what is it in my heart that you want changed? Because I want to get out of disobedient category and get into the obedient category. Make sense? Because, Lord, I want to be more like you. Lord, I want to be more like you. Help me to be more like you. And there's sometimes when we sing the song, or do whatever, he says, you know, I've done everything that I can to get you more like me. It's up you to do something. Did you know that he's already given you the power over the sin that's in you, that's holding you back? And whatever that is, whatever, if it's anger, if it's lust, if it's rage, we're going to talk about that in a minute. But in Romans chapter, I believe it's chapter 3, but I'm not certain. I'd have to look it up. It says that he is reigning in us, and sin should no longer reign in our mortal bodies. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has given us the power to conquer that thing. Now, the enemy in your perspective was, well, you know, I get mad. That's the way it is. I'm an angry person. You know, that's the way I'm wired. That's the way I am. And so that I can never change because my perspective is it can never happen. Yeah. I'm telling you, get your perspective changed because he's given you the power to change. And it's not like you're going to do it on your own. It's like, Lord, you've given me the vision. You've given me the goal. And I'm going to walk in that goal because you're going to empower me to do it. Are you with me? So how do we discover that goal? We begin to look at the Word of God and we begin to let it speak to us so that we can change. All right, go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. When I first was saved, and one of the first Bible studies that I ever went to, it was out of Galatians chapter 5. And it was really good. And I'll tell you why it was good. Because it gave me a plumb line of how I was supposed to walk. And then it gave me an indicator of things that were not right. Sometimes I think we get people born again, we get them saved, and in the discipleship, we want to tell them how good they are, and they are, and what God has done for them, and God's made them the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and so on and so forth. And yet, we absolutely don't do them the favor of giving them a guideline of what it means to walk in the Spirit. All right? So, let's look at verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let me just stop right there and tell you that it's not you trying to walk in the Spirit that will get you to control your flesh. And I used to read this, because I come from a good Catholic's work background, that if I didn't, you know, if I didn't fulfill those lusts of the flesh, then I'd be walking in the Spirit. And I found out that that doesn't work, because I don't have the power not to walk in the lusts of the flesh. But if I'll do the things that get me in the Spirit, those things no longer have charge or control on me. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. What does this have to do with discovery? We're going to find out in just a minute. But I want to tell you that your ability to change is your connection with the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of you. Does that make sense? All right. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. What does that mean? They're fighting. Your flesh wants what it wants. And the bottom line is that's pride. And you know, your flesh wants to get its way. This is the way I've done it. You don't understand. That person did me wrong, and I'm going to get revenge. That's your flesh. That's your flesh. Well, you don't understand. I mean, I'm just a man who you know, has a physical attribute that is lustful after women, and that's just the way it is. I'm just a man. Shut up. No, you're not. And God has given you the ability to conquer that. Are you with me? Well, you know, I'm just this way or I'm just that way. What you're doing is you're justifying your lust. You're just justifying walking in the flesh. And that flesh is warring against your connecting with God. It just is. All right? We want to change that. We want to break that. All right? So the lust of the flesh against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not the things that you wish. All of us want to walk close with God. All of us want to be pleasing to God. All of us, and in a sense, positionally, He's already made us that way. But if we're going to change, we have to start recognizing some of these things that I'm going to list and how they apply to me. And don't get overwhelmed by it, because, you know, all of us could probably get overwhelmed, but it's like, Lord, again, what specifically do you want me to work on? Because I want to discover that, and then I want to change. So I'm going to set the goal for change, then I'm going to make the plan for change, and then I'm going to execute the change, and then I am going to evaluate the change. Again, we're talking about the roadmap for change, and today specifically about discovery. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, which is any sexual relationship outside of marriage, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's quite a list, isn't it? That's quite a list. And I'm not here to point out where you are on that list. But what I am encouraging you is that there is something on that list that God is trying to talk to you about. Quit walking in denial. Quit blaming others. And begin to take ownership of that. And you say, God, if that's what you're dealing with me about, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. And sometimes, here's what we do, is we categorize things as big things and little things. Well, if I'm walking in adultery, that's a big thing. It is, no question about it. But if you're walking full of jealousy, it's just as big. If you're walking in hatred, just as big. If you're dealing with sorcery, it's just as big. Well, I'd never deal with sorcery. Be careful there. And I'm not going to go into a long thing here. But if you're dealing with the Aquarius, all the you know, astrology, and you're well, I'm led by the Spirit, but what's my a sorcery, right? And all I'm saying is, if God's dealing with you about that, change. And some of the things that are deep inside of us is going to take an effort to get through. God has given you the power. He'll give you the plan, but you have to work the plan. You have to come to the place where you've decided that I'm not going to let anything keep me from what God has for me. Let me tell you a story. There's a gentleman who's He got saved like in the 60s and whatever, but he got to the place where, Lord, I don't want anything between me and you. If there's something that I'm addicted to, God, I want it out of my life because I only want to be controlled by your Spirit. Well, he was drinking like, you know, back in the day, about 6 to 8 of those Coca-Cola bottles a day. Now you think, well, nothing wrong with that necessarily. But for him, it was an addiction, because if he didn't have it, he was looking for it. And he got hangry, if you will, if he didn't have it. And so he said, no more. For the rest of my life, I will never have a Coca-Cola. I'm not telling you to do that. But you see, he discovered something that he perceived was keeping him from God. And he said, God, I'm going to change this right here and right now, because nothing is more important to me than you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's like, and that's part of the process. When God reveals something to you, you've got to be at the place where you're determined to change it, because you do not want to, you do not want to affect your relationship with God. Amen. Are you with me? Let me read that again to you. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. We all know what that is. Fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. I worked, you know, in the shipyard for a lot of years. And I'm telling you, there was some uncleanliness involved there. And there was definitely some lewdness all around. And I had to guard myself against it. And I've told you this before, and I won't go into large detail, but there was a time where there were so many foul jokes and things going on in the lunchroom that I just decided, you know, cursing and all that, I just thought, I'm just not going to sit there. I went to another place in the building and ate my lunch and, you know, meditate on the Word of God. Then one day I said, you know, that's not right. It's not right. I'm a child of God, and I should have the right to eat in the lunchroom, which was there for all the employees. And I didn't go to the bosses. I didn't go to anybody and make a stink. I just went back in there when anybody said, you know, God's name in vain. I just said, well, praise the Lord, He's good. I would. I really would. I praise the Lord, He's good. Or if they'd start a lewd story, I just said, well, you know. And another thing I'd say, you know, they'd say, oh, you know, GD,
steal it.
Right, you know. And I'd say, well, you know, he'll help you out, but you probably ought to talk to him nicer than that. But I began to change the atmosphere of the room, not because I was imposing my religion on them, but I was voicing the praise of the Lord in that room. And I'm telling you, it changed. Right? It changed. So, but the other aspect of that is if you're not careful, you'll get in with a group of people and they'll start telling you stories that are kind of racy and iffy, and you go, well, that's not that bad. Just be careful, because I think it's opening the door for you to become harder and harder to that. Right? So what I'm saying is, when God begins to deal with you in any of these works of the flesh, and I think that's a great place to start with finding a discovery of what God wants you to change, then you can put it on your heart that, God, this is something that's between me and you. It's not between me and my wife. It's not between me and my dad or my mom. This is between me and you. And with your help, I'm changing it. And then we'll go through the process of change. So we're talking about discovery today. Amen? And again, some of these are jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. See, it's like it's not just, again, if we get back there, it's not just doing the right thing. It's not just doing it the right way. It's doing it with the right attitude. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. I want to be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Right? Change my heart, oh God. I refuse to be stubborn when you point out one of these things. But listen to verse 22. So we pointed out some of the works of the flesh. But I also want to point out some things that we should be pointing ourselves toward. Those things that we talked about are changes that we're pointing ourselves away from. But we want to talk about changes toward. And I've got to hurry because I've got to quit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desire. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So in other words, I want His love. I want His joy. I want His peace. And any of those things that maybe are lacking in your life, that could be the very thing that you need to make your goal for change. Amen? So this morning and this week, just go before the Lord. Meditate on these verses and say, okay, Lord, I'm not trying to bring anything out, and I'm not trying to get you to come up with something, right? But what I'm trying to do is, Lord, you work on my heart. I'm not going to make excuses anymore for the lust of the flesh that I walk in, but I need your help to make the change so that I'm not doing it anymore. And then I need your help to walk in the things that you want me to walk in. Because if I walk in the Spirit, I'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, there'll be joy, there'll be gentleness, there'll be peace, there'll be love, so on and so forth. Y'all get something this morning? Are you willing to work on it? Do you really want change? Amen. So do I. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all of those that are here in the room, and especially for all of those that are online, Lord. We just thank you for them listening either right now or later. Lord, we just ask you to touch them and to be with them. And Father, I sense your presence here, and I just ask you to just put that in their living rooms, put that in their car, wherever they're listening. God, I just ask for that to be a part. And then, Lord, we humbly as a group come before you right now, and we ask you, Lord, to just speak to our hearts. Our hearts are wide open to you. We understand that you love us and that you're for us and that you're not against us. So we open ourselves up to you and we ask you to fill us with the knowledge of your will for us. And if there's something outside of that that we're either not doing, unaware of, we want to be aware so that we can walk in it. Give us the strength and ability to do that. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, here's the whole gospel in a nutshell. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody who ever lived could in no way do the things that were necessary to earn their way into heaven. Can't be done. Can't be done. So we're all lost and without hope. But the Bible says that Jesus came in the form of a man, and he became the sacrifice for sin. He became the atonement for sin. What does that mean? He took your sin on the cross. He paid the price for everything that you've done wrong or will do wrong on the cross. And he wishes that all men would come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's up to you and me to not harden our heart to that, but to allow the Lord into our heart. The Bible says if you just do this simple thing, it's simple but it's so profound, that if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is that Messiah, he is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead, putting him in the position to cover your sin with his blood, that you'd be saved, or you'd be set apart, or you'd be adopted into his family. So this morning, whether you're here or not, I ask that you would just do that. And maybe you've done that and you've walked away. And maybe this message has brought a little bit of conviction to your heart about something in your heart that's not right. I'm praying right now that you do something about it. Right here, right now. It doesn't have to be a long thing. You don't have to groan and moan and cry for 4 hours. But you have to mean business with God. And you have to say, Lord, this attitude is not right. Lord, those actions I've been doing are not right. Lord, the way I've been doing it is not right. So I ask you to forgive me. And I'm going to change, Lord, with your help. I'm determined to change, Lord, with your help. If that's you this morning watching online or here in the room, I just want you to know that God is ready to take up your case and help you overcome. Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us online. God bless. Amen. If I could have the worship team.